Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Last week, we spoke about the legacy of trust, Betach, and we unpacked how Joshua, out of his trust, could boldly declare, "As for me and my house, we will serve." The word serve was uvad, serve the Lord. We said this, that trust is not a one-time decision, but it is a thing that impacts generations. This week, I want to continue. I want to continue on this whole legacy journey because we're in the month of legacy. And as we continue on that, I've been pondering. I've been sitting with God and chatting to God. And on Tuesday, the thing that God laid on my heart was a thing called prayer. Say prayer. That's right, prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is communion with God, the meeting place of heaven and earth. Prayer is simply talking with God and listening to his heart. It's not a monologue, it's a dialogue. So simply talking with God and listening to his heart. But I love this part. Prayer is the bridge between generations where we partner with God today and release what he promised for tomorrow. That is prayer. I pondered on this. I pondered on how many prayers, think about it, how many prayers have not been prayed over 100 years to get us here where we are today. I know how many prayers. Well, I've got a bit of an idea since we've been here for 2 years, how many prayers were prayed to just get us in this building. How many prayers have been prayed over the 100 years to get you and I to a place where we are today? Thousands upon thousands, maybe even millions. I don't know. I wouldn't know. Break that down. How many minutes, how many hours, how many days does this mean? I don't know, but I believe it is a lot. It is a lot. So I shared this with the team on Tuesday, and what you experienced this morning with the generational prayer, with all the generations up here busy praying, was birthed out of that conversation. How powerful was that? Anybody moved by that? How powerful was that? How powerful was it to hear one of our kids from Kids Church pray? Let me tell you, first service, second service, Kids Church just went at another level. How powerful was it to hear our young adults and our youth and our even our seniors and our adults just together praying, and there was this common thread of thanksgiving. That's all I told them. I said, it's going to be a prayer of thanksgiving. They went and sought God as to what they need to pray for. Something supernatural happens when people pray. The atmosphere shifts, and something more supernatural happens when generations pray together. It's not because of eloquence. It's not because of the right things that said and the wrong things that you don't say, or because of who is praying. No. I want to propose something to you today, and this is this. Prayer stops God. What do you mean, JJ? First service, I said, say that again. Prayer stops God. You see, I'm a father, physical father, all right? And as a father, when one of my children cry out, Papa, and they talk to me, I stop in my tracks to listen to them. Am I the only father that does that? He is the father of all fathers. So it stops him in his tracks. Because why? He hears the voice of his son and daughter, and he loves you so much that he stops to listen, stops to hear, stops to take note and to do. So today I want to help us understand the importance of prayer. And the legacy prayer leaves. Like last week, I said that trust was foundational, yeah? But I want to paint a different picture. You see, trust, being practical, trust are the bricks, but prayer is the cement. Prayer is the cement. It is the prayer that holds the bricks together. Without cement, pile of bricks, but eventually fall down and just be a pile of bricks. But it's the cement. We can have all the trust, but without the prayer that keeps us together, we need to be praying, church. Last week we said trust, betach, leads to service, avad, and service leads to trust. And this becomes the legacy that others build on. But I'm not sure if you realize or if you've noticed that when you trust and you serve and you avad because you patach, so you serve because you trust, there is something else that shifts. Something else happens. Something else is different. You know what? Can you guess what? Your language. Your language is different. You see, if trust is the posture of the heart, then prayer becomes the language of that trust. You talk differently, you declare differently, you pray differently. There's more of a confidence and an authority that you walk in. Trust is the posture, but prayer becomes the language. Trust is the brick, but prayer is the cement. If we go to have a look at the Bible, every person in the Bible that left something behind for us to build on. We're talking about Abraham, we're talking about Moses, we're talking about David and Daniel and Mary and even Jesus. Every great legacy that has been left behind for us to build upon, they didn't just live for God. They walked with God. And they talked with God. They talked with God. And you and I today, we walk and we build on that legacy. Folks, you got to hear me today. Our children, our spiritual sons and daughters, our physical children will not only inherit from our possessions, but they will inherit from our prayer lives. They will inherit from our prayer lives. The question is, though, that we've got to ask ourselves, are we leaving behind a legacy of prayer? Are we leaving behind a legacy of prayer? Prayer has to be a priority in your house. Parents, hear me. Grandparents, hear me. Young adults, hear me. Prayer has to be a priority in your house. Prayer has to be a priority in this house. In this house. I have to report, we're not there yet in this house. We've got different occasions of prayer. We've got on a Tuesday, we pray from 9 to 10. On a Sunday, we're in there. There's intercessors and the prayer community that gather in the parents' room from 8 to about 8:45. Every third week of the month, every third Wednesday of the month, we gather in this room. We have prayer power. We have opportunities to come and be part of and to make priority of prayer, but unfortunately, we're not seeing that yet. Yet. Because I believe when we have these opportunities, there wouldn't be room enough for people when it is a priority. Prayer has to be a priority in your life. Prayer has to be a priority in your house. Prayer has to be a priority in this house. Because why? Prayer is what keeps it all together. Prayer is what brings heaven to earth. Let me repeat. It has to be a priority. Allow me to shine a light on this statement. Why am I so strong about this? Because our scripture today is Luke 11, 1 to 13. Luke 11, 1 to 13. If you have your Bibles, get your Bibles out. But Luke 11, 1 to 13 says this. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, I just want to say something. I'm not going through all of those verses that you can do, but I want to highlight two things. The first thing I want to highlight are the words, Lord, teach us to pray. Underline that if you've got your physical Bible here. Teach us to pray. The context, you've got to get the context before this has been said. The context is these disciples have seen Jesus heal the sick. They've seen Jesus open the blind eyes. They've seen Jesus calm storms. They've seen Jesus multiply food, feed 5,000 from 2 loaves and 5 fishes. They've seen Jesus cast out legions of demons. They've seen Jesus actually raise the widow's son and Jairus' daughter back to life. And they also saw something else. They saw him go aside and converse with somebody that they couldn't see. Don't you think it's strange that they didn't ask Jesus to teach them how to do miracles? Don't you think it's strange that they didn't ask Jesus to teach them how to be eloquent in their speech and to preach like he does? They didn't say, hey, Lord, Jesus, teach us to do that which we physically observe with you. No. They asked, teach us to pray. The Greek word for teach there is didasko. It implies transformation through disciplined practice. Whew. Transformation through disciplined practice. Transform us through the disciplined practice of prayer is what they were actually saying to him. Transform us, Jesus, through that practice that we see you doing in the quiet, is what they were saying. I think somehow, the disciples understood that prayer was foundational. I don't know about you, but I get that idea when I'm reading this. So you ask me, how do I come to that conclusion? Well, we have to ask this question. Why did the disciples ask Jesus to teach them to pray? Why? Good question. The first revelation that I get is that this request did not come from curiosity. It actually came from observation. They observed. What did they observe? They observed in Jesus was not just power, but intimacy. There was this living connection between him and the Father. They observed that prayer was the source of everything Jesus did. They had watched Jesus pray early in the morning, alone in the mountains, before miracles, after miracles, before crowds, after crowds. And they also observed that every time Jesus prayed, here's the key, heaven moved. Every time Jesus prayed, heaven moved. When Jesus prayed, the sick were healed. When Jesus prayed, demons fled. When Jesus prayed, food was multiplied. When Jesus prayed, direction came. When Jesus prayed, even nature obeyed. The dead were raised back to life. Come on. In other words, when Jesus prayed, listen to this. This is important. When Jesus prayed, the Father's will was revealed. I think the disciples had a bit of a aha moment, a bit of a light bulb moment. I think that they realized that the power that manifested, the revelations that were released, they all flowed from Jesus' prayer life. Wow. So there we have it. The reason why they didn't say, teach us to preach, or teach us to lead, but they said, teach us to pray. Teach us, Jesus, to do that thing. Because we realize we need to know how to do that thing so that we too can walk in these things. You see, church, prayer wasn't just part of Jesus' ministry. It was the source of his ministry. Many times we want to do all these wonderful things, you know, and have all these wonderful programs in the church and have this ministry and that ministry. Is it God's ministry or is it your ministry? Do you want to do it because God said or do you want to do it because you said? I'm the first one to put the brakes on. Because you see, part of our ministry has to have the source, which is prayer. Pray first. Pray first. Prayer's got to be first and foremost. So they asked Jesus, hey, Jesus, teach us to pray. What was Jesus' response? Nope, mine. That's a joke, by the way. You mean to laugh. Mine. Get your own. No. This is what he said. He said to them, when you pray, say. Stop. Don't read further. He immediately says to them, when you pray, say. And he says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so it goes on, and we get the model prayer that Jesus gives us, which I'm not going into. I think at that moment when they asked Jesus, teach us to pray, Jesus was like, yes, they got it. They finally got it. They realized that this is essential. Now let me teach them. He didn't go, hey, sit down, disciples. Let me tell you about prayer. You have to do this and this and this and this. And he modeled it. And when they asked, he taught them. That's a key for us. It's a key. Leaders, listen to me. Parents, listen to me. You need to model before you tell. Ouch. We'll leave that one hanging. But look at this. Look at the choice of words. When you pray, say. Now, I want us to just take note. I checked 8 different translations. 8. ESV, New King James Version, NIV. You know what I'm talking about, translations, yeah? 8 different translations. And each translation used the word when. Please note there was no if. When. When. And there was even a Greek word, hutan. Meaning at the time when. Or each time that. In other words, this was an habitual action, something that is expected, something that is ongoing, something that is natural. Jesus said, when you pray, because in the kingdom, prayer is as natural as breathing is on earth. Breathing is what creation does. Breathing is what you and I do. Prayer is what disciples do. Or should I say, prayer is what disciples should do. There was no if, it's when. When you pray. Prayer, folks, isn't an occasional response when we're in a crisis. Prayer is an ongoing relationship. So Jesus comes and he shares this model prayer. And he says, when you pray, say. Keyword, say. Underline, say. Circle, say. What is he doing here? He is teaching his disciples not just what to pray, but how to live. Right there, he prepares them for. He is about to reveal heaven's pattern to them. He's about to reveal heaven's pattern to them, which brings me to my second thing I want to highlight. And this is this. Legacy prayers need to be modeled according to heaven's model. So very quiet on that side. Legacy prayers need to be modeled according to heaven's model. Nowhere in heaven's model, when you read through all of that scripture, do you see Jesus telling you to beg for things. Oof. That's a freebie. I didn't share that with the first service. I told you, you're my favorites. nowhere is there begging. He shares a model pattern. Do you want to know what this model is? Great. Pastor, just for you, Pastor Russ. He's the only one that wants to know. But because he wants to know, I'll share it with you all. All right. When you pray, say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the model. Say. Not nag. Not whinge. Say. You see, prayer is not a religious exercise. Prayer is a partnership between heaven and earth. Through prayer, what is in heaven? Stop. What is in heaven? God's order. God's peace. God's power. God's purpose. Healing. What is in heaven? Through prayer. What is in heaven becomes a reality on earth. You see, heaven doesn't invade earth through activity, but through intimacy. No activity, it's intimacy. And Jesus modeled exactly that. Jesus models a lifestyle of intimacy. I loved it. Before the feeding, after the feeding. Before the craziness, after the craziness. Before the miracle of signs and wonders, after the signs. You read constantly through that he went away, spent time with the Father. Anybody in here that wants to see heaven invade their homes? Some of you? Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Anybody here who wants to see heaven invade their circumstances? Anybody wants to hear who wants to see heaven invade their children? Yeah, I saw some more hands go up. Anybody who wants to see heaven invade their spouses? I didn't do that, did I? Okay, all right, great. You gotta have to want it to get it, folks. You gotta have to want it to get it. If we want to see heaven invade earth in our world, we must do what the disciples did. We must do what our forefathers did. What did they do? They continued asking the Holy Spirit, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray. Teach me to. We do not have an excuse. I don't know how to pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you to pray. You don't have to have a 6-week course. He is the teacher. He is the power. He will infuse it into you. He will release it into you. He is God. He is with you 24/7, 365. He goes with you where you go. He never leaves you, nor does he forsake you. Teach me to pray is what our forefathers prayed. That's what we need to pray. We need to continue to be disciples of prayer. Because the reality is this, we cannot leave a legacy of prayer if we're not living a life of prayer. You've got to live a life of prayer to leave a legacy of prayer. It is prayer that births movements like this one. It is prayer that breaks the walls of resistance. It is prayer that breaks the chains of addiction. It is prayer that annihilates tumors, restores eyesight, brings prodigals home, etc., etc. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is God's kingdom? Whatever it is there needs to be released here. And how does it get released here? Through your prayers, not mine. Yours, and yours, and yours, and yours, and yours, and yours, 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 and mine. Everyone praying. I said last week, it's time for signs, wonders, and miracles to return to this house. Miracles are normal. Can you imagine? 100 kids praying, 50 youth praying, 50 young adults praying, 600 adults praying, which includes our Empower group. Can you imagine what will happen when we are all storming heaven and bringing heaven to earth? Can you imagine, just imagine the legacy of prayer that we will leave behind? People will walk through those doors and their addiction will just break off like that. People who have struggled with porn for years will just be, it's gone. Have no more desire. Alcohol, have no more desire. Whatever the addiction is. Anger, dissipate. Replaced with love and peace. I pray and declare that we will be a house that prays so that we can see signs, wonders, and miracles manifested here. Smith Wigglesworth, good-looking man, powerful man, referred to as the Apostle of Faith. He is one of the pioneers of the Pentecostal movement that we are part of. In 1927, Smith Wigglesworth preached here in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. Where? At the Richmond Temple. Where's the Richmond Temple? Numa City. Say wow. This dude was there. This is what he had to say about prayer. God wants us so filled with His Spirit that we pray in power and live in victory. If you've spent no time with God, don't expect to walk in His power. Oof. The man who kneels most stands best. Prayer must come from the heart. If it's just from the lips, it's lifeless. Some people pray just to say they have prayed. I pray to touch God. If you pray much, you will grow much. A praying church. From that, a praying church is a growing church. I don't care about growing in numbers. I care about church, the church growing. That's you, not seats, not building. The church growing in God's ordained calling in their lives. A praying church is a growing church. Let's give God glory. You pray, you grow. If you pray much, you will grow much. Smith Wigglesworth. Guess what? 1927, when he was here at Richmond Temple, Numa City, where we are all gathering at 4 p.m. next Sunday, there were reports of healings. Tumors disappearing. Blood pressure restored. Chronic ears healed. Chronic kidney diseases healed. People delivered by the power of God. Eyesight restored. And so we can go on, we'll go on, go on. Where did that authority come from? From communion with God. From a lifestyle of prayer which brings heaven's power to earth. Exactly what the disciples witnessed with Jesus. Every time Jesus prayed, heaven moved. Every time Smith Wigglesworth prayed, guess what? Heaven moved. Guess what? Every time you pray, God stops, heaven moves. We need to be praying more. We need to be praying more. Prayer is the bridge of what God promises and what we see fulfilled. It is the bridge. God promises 7,000 plus promises in here. To see it fulfilled, we need prayer. The bridge of prayer. The power we carry publicly is always from the overflow of the prayer life we cultivate privately. What we carry publicly overflows from the prayer life we cultivate privately. It's the bridge. So here's a question. What power are you currently carrying? What power am I currently carrying? What promises am I seeing fulfilled? If that is not happening there, there's one thing missing. The bridge. Yes? We can't go from there to there without a bridge. The bridge. I believe, church, that God is calling us back to the altar. Not an altar of emotion, but an altar of intercession. You see, because when this generation, thanks, the team can join me up. When this generation becomes a praying generation, the next generation will not just inherit our buildings, they'll inherit our altars. They will inherit our, they will drink from the wells we've dug in prayer. They will stand on the ground we've broken through intercession. They will walk in the breakthroughs we have travailed for in the secret place. On our faces down the front, snotting. The altar's open. When we worship, don't be in your seat. Come and join us down the front. Come and pray. Come and intercede. But JJ, you don't know where I'm at. I may not know where you're at. Yeah, at the moment, I feel so dry and lately and spiritually dry. Hello? Guess what? So do I. Been in ministry for over 30 years. How many times have I gone through the wilderness that I have felt spiritually dry? But I don't stop praying. Oh, it's so tough. I still set the alarm clock. Because I know prayer is important. It's been a big week. It's been a big couple of weeks. Last night I climbed into bed exhausted. And I slept well. Thanks for the prayers. But I set that alarm. 4 a.m. this morning. I share this with you, not gloating. Because I knew I had to be up there praying, in here praying before the team arrived. Because I need to lead by example. Come on, church. Come on, church. Here's my question. Where are you with your prayer life? Oh, I don't know, JJ. You know, I don't really know if my prayers matter because anybody felt that way? I don't want to look. I don't want to know. Because you know, God doesn't answer my prayers anymore. Guess what? Just these past 2 weeks, I felt exactly the same. God, where are you? God, I'm asking you for this and I'm asking you for that. And Lord, without that and that, I'm half a person. Guess what? Didn't stop praying. Did I whinge in his ear? You bet I whinged in his ear. I share because I want you to know I'm human. I struggle with what you struggle with. I go through what you go through with. But don't stop praying. Don't. It's the bridge. Can you put the bridge up there again, please, Chris? It's the bridge. It's the bridge of getting that to that. Where is your prayer life, people? Because God is saying, come, son, come, daughter, pray again, pray again, pray again, pray again. Why? Because the breakthrough is just on the other side. Have you seen that picture? The guys digging the tunnel, and they get to a place where they go, oh my gosh, I'm giving up. And they were that far from breaking through to the other side. Come on. Come on. Where's your prayer life? You see, the model Jesus gave for us all is to be people of prayer. You need to help. You need to help me. Me need to help you. We need to help one another. How do we learn to pray? Help Holy Spirit. He's the helper. Lord, make me a person of prayer. Make my life an altar for your presence. Make me a person of prayer. Just share. I know I'm way over time. Not really. I need to share this. I had this revelation. We were going through a very tough time. 22 weeks without prayer. I have shared this, but I know there's a lot of people who haven't heard this. 22 weeks, I did not have a salary. We were in between seasons. We were on the Gold Coast. I'd been in ministry all this time. I basically said to God, I resign. He didn't accept my resignation. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been here. Said to him again, I'll resign. I'm over. I'm not stepping into ministry again. I read this book about Holy Spirit by Michael Koulianos. Great book, by the way. And something on the inside churned me. And he said these words. I asked the Holy Spirit to help me pray every morning. I went, whew, I'm going to do that. So I sat, put music on, something similar to this. We can record this actually, Danny, because you just play so beautifully. A little bit of cello in the background, all that kind of stuff. I put music on, I'm sitting there, I think it was something like 10 past 3, it's in my journal, 10 past 3 in the morning, seeking God. And I pray, Holy Spirit. I was like, I'm going to try this. And I prayed, Holy Spirit, help me to pray according to the will of the Father. Well, I cannot explain. The only way I can explain it to you, I've shared this before, it's part of my testimony, is before it came out my mouth, I thought of it in my head. I was praying differently to what I normally just rattled stuff off. Lord, help me. Lord, bless my family. Lord, protect my kids. Lord. I was praying, I believe, according to the will of the Father. My prayer life has never been the same again. To this day, 4:30 this morning, I said, Holy Spirit, help me to pray today according to the will of the Father. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. So I finish with this. Let this be the legacy. Let this house be build a legacy of prayer. A generation that leaves behind not just memories, but monuments of intercession. Luke 18:8 says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? My answer is yes, Lord. May you find faith in this house, amongst this church of yours. May you find so much faith. Amen. I'm going to dob you in this morning. I'm not going to give you an option to stand. I'm going to ask you all to stand. Because we need to be prayers. And I have a prayer that I'm going to release. And I'm going to ask Holy Spirit to awaken something in you that has not yet been awoken. I don't know how to pray? Ask Holy Spirit. I don't know what to pray for? Ask Holy Spirit. He will show you. Can you just hold your hands out there? About to receive. Father, we confess. We have not yet been a generation of prayers, but we declare that from today forward, we are and we will be a generation of prayers. We come before you not as individuals. We come before you as a generation that is hungry for your presence. Your presence is our priority. We thank you, Father, for the wells of revival and prayer that have been dug before us through men and women who have sacrificed on their knees, calling out to you, calling, bringing heaven, Lord, to earth through their tears and through their travailing. But Lord, today we say, we will dig again, Lord. Help us, teach us, help us to pray. Teach us to pray. Let the waters of your Spirit flow once more. In our homes, in our lives, in this house, in your church, in this country, in this nation, Lord. May the Spirit flow once again amongst us, Lord. Let prayer, Lord God, be our inheritance and our legacy. May our children and our children's children and our children's children's children, for generations and generations and generations to come, may they drink from the wells that we open today. Not tomorrow, today, Lord. Come and open those wells. Father, let the wells never run dry. Never run dry from one generation to the next. I want us all to raise a hand or both hands. Raise them up above your shoulders. Lord, you see our hands. Mark us today as a praying generation, that we will leave a legacy, that when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith right here amongst us. Put your hand on your heart. Say, Lord, help me. Nice and loud, everybody. Lord, help me to be a praying generation. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.